It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 ray@rte.ie. I didn't realise it, but I made a hybrid bun last night. Yes, a hybrid bun. I was telling you yesterday that we've damsons growing out in the back garden. We got a gift of a plum tree, and then somebody told us that that's not a plum tree, that's a damson tree. They're more rugby ball shaped than a plum, and a little bit smaller. Taste much the same. Anyway, I saw a recipe, as I was telling you, in one of the papers over the weekend for little damson cakes. And the reason it's called a hybrid cake, this is Niamh, who's our culinary expert on the show, Niamh Hassel, is that there's sponge and then there's crumble and then there's the damson. So you make the crumble with your oats and nuts, if there's nobody in the house allergic to nuts. You do that in the oven and then you do up your sponge, put the sponge in the little cupcake thing, and then press half a damson into it and then spread the crumble on top, put it back into the oven, take it out when they're warm, whipped cream on top. Delicious, delicious, delicious. And there's something lovely, and I know people do it all over the place, but there is something very gratifying about making something you can eat from something that's grown in your own garden. And more of that. I tried it with Mick Kelly and GIY, Grow It Yourself, and I wasn't successful. Maybe next year I'll return to the vegetables. For the moment, it's damsons anyway, and they were delicious, and I brought them in and they got thumbs up from everybody, but they'd hardly say anything else. The man who works on the show with you brings in the cakes and you say, there you go, I made them myself last night. You're hardly going to say, they're rubbish, are you? You're not at all. Lovely pictures there, and everyone's talking about it. Game of Thrones star Jack Gleeson got married to his long-term girlfriend, Roisin O'Mahony, who's also an actor and comedian. And lovely pictures from the church in Ballinskelligs. And what people are remarking on, so much so that Barbara Power did a page 3 opinion piece in The Independent today, is how casual the whole thing is, which is brilliant. I love the fact that people are doing their own thing when it comes to weddings. Some people are deciding not to get married in churches, as Jack did. There's no suit or tie involved. There isn't a dicky bow in sight. Roisin looks lovely and casual and comfortable and at home in her dress. It's lovely pastel shades. And I see Barbara Power has interviewed Tara Fay, who's a wedding planner. And she says, the wedding industry has changed completely. Forget rules. There's no rules as regards weddings. You do you. And she goes on to say, there have been seismic changes and people are doing it on their own terms. They are suiting themselves on everything from guest numbers to what they are going to wear. And then they have a spokesperson from Louis Copeland and Sons, David O'Connor, says that they sold out of all green fabrics during the summer. And Jack's shirt is a green linen shirt and he's wearing brown tweed trousers and tan shoes that look a bit distressed or scuffed or whatever you'd call them. And again, he looks very comfortable in it. But here's a new word, a new colour, from David O'Connor, from Louis Copeland and Sons. Greige. Yes, greige. We saw lots of demand for linen, and another big seller for grooms in Ireland this summer was greige, which is a mixture of grey and beige. Every suit and sports jacket that we had in that colour sold out. There's a big shift in how guys are dressing now for weddings. They're definitely more adventurous. Now, greige doesn't sound like the most adventurous colour in the world. Combining grey and beige. Anyway, they're definitely more adventurous and are trying linen, biscuit colours and green. I think it's great. And people are doing it as they want to do it and saving money, which is a good thing as well, at a time in their lives when they need money to get on the property ladder. There was a sort of a heartwarming report this morning, because accommodation and housing is not usually a heartwarming story. But Aisling on Morning Ireland this morning, Aisling Maloney, was talking about a situation down in Limerick. And part of the thing that happens every September, October is student accommodation, which adds to the whole housing crisis. And she was down in Limerick looking at a scheme called Rent a Room Initiative, where students and older people with spare rooms are paired up, and it works out. Well, it did on this occasion, because she spoke to Marion Clossy, who's a pensioner living in Castleconnell, which is about 10 kilometres outside Limerick. And she also spoke to Stella, who's used to be a student in UL. I think she did a PhD. And then when she was finished, she had to leave her student accommodation, so she needed some place to stay. And through this rent room initiative, She was hooked up with Marion, and they seemed to be getting on. They seemed to be getting on really well, according to Aisling Maloney's report.
And then I came on that day and I was like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. And she was actually, she was nice, she was welcoming. It feels more like I'm at home.
Oh, we're getting on so well. And she livens up the house. She's singing, going around. She is just lovely. You could do what I'm doing now and have somebody stay with you. All these empty bedrooms and spare rooms, you know, why not?
Yeah, that's Marion Clossy there. And lovely heartwarming report from this morning's Morning Ireland. And we spoke to somebody a few years ago. There's a similar type thing in Dublin as well, where an organisation pair up students who are looking for accommodation with older people who need a bit of company and have spare rooms. And it sounds like a cross-generational brilliant thing. It's win-win all round. So more of that, please. More of that, please. Our hero of the day, or inventor of the day, is Anthony Bergen. You've probably heard about Anthony. He was at the Tullamore show. He's from Roscrea in County Tipperary. He's 92 and he won a prize for his invention, which is a handy coat hanger and helper device. My dad would love this. It's the type of thing that he would have loved. And there's a picture of, so you hang your jacket on it and then by a pulley system, it sort of comes out to you. And then you back into it, put your hands in through the arms and hey, presto, ba-dump. It's not exactly, you know, AI, Iron Man type stuff, but it works. It works. And it works for Anthony Bergen, 92 from Roscrea. And he won a prize for it at the Tullamore show. We got on to Anthony and he said that any time we're in the Roscrea area to come and say hello, and he'd be delighted to talk to us and show us his handy coat hanger and helper. So that's a lovely invitation and congratulations. And whenever we're around, we'll do that. I was thinking on holidays and you have notions and some of them drift in and drift out and some of them are good and some of them are bad. But one of them was, and I'm a great believer in, you know, everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. And too often, I think, we, as in the media, go for the famous story. We sort of ignore sometimes other stories. So I thought to myself, my house, my story. Because we've done this with people like Catherine Corliss and Brenda Fricker and Eamon Dunphy. And we've been to people's houses. So we go to their place where they're most comfortable, their home soil, so it's their home turf, and interview them. And I was thinking, if people who are listening, if you are listening and you have a story worth, you know, broadcasting to the nation, that we would go to you as opposed to you coming up to us. We would go down, sit at the kitchen table with you. You tell us your story and then we'd broadcast it to the nation. Not in a documentary style, but in a conversation style. So it won't be just clips. It'll be the whole conversation. You making me a cup of tea or coffee or serving me your buns with your damsons from the tree out the back, all that sort of thing. So that was a notion I had. So we'll work on that. And there's other notions as well on the way, because it's a new season. It's a new term. And we have to book up our ideas. Anyway, well done to Anthony Bergen there. Yeah, new season, new term, and loads of lovely pictures in the papers today of children starting school. And this is sort of a worrying sign of the times we live in, that the Gardaí have issued a warning for cybersecurity, because you know the picture of the first day at school, and there would have been a load of them yesterday because it was a fine day in most parts of the country, where the little boy or girl is in their school uniform standing outside the front door, the picture's taken, it's there for posterity to look back on at the 21st and when they get married or whatever. And the Gardaí have felt that they had to issue a warning on cybersecurity, advising people to remove the door number from the picture, blur any other identifiable information, say a name on a school bag or something like that, blur the school or team logo on the crest, and turn off location data on your phone. Isn't it very sad that they feel that they had to do that? I find that quite upsetting, that you can't take an innocent photograph of your 5 or 6 year old heading off to their first day at school. It is upsetting. It is upsetting. Joanna Reardon, we haven't spoken to Joanna in a long time, and we've tried over lockdown and you know our schedules didn't match. Anyway, Joanne is going to talk to us after 4 o'clock today, and I'm looking forward to that. And we've a postman to meet or to talk to. And did you know that Capel Street is one of the coolest streets in the world? And we have one of the Lenihans from Lenihan Hardware to tell us what it feels like to work and have a business on one of the coolest streets in the world. The other thing we have today is Mary. Now, Mary's put together a collection of poetry. And it's called Poems for When You Can't Find the Words, Mary Shine Thompson. And it's a comforting collection from Irish Hospice Foundation and Poetry Ireland. And the last poem is a poem called Begin. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but can I bring you back 25 years to The Late Late Show when Gay Byrne, the late Gay Byrne, was still at the helm. And they used to have a postal quiz long before texting and all that sort of thing. So they had a postal quiz. They got sackloads and sackloads of mail every week, and they used to give away big prizes. And this particular week, the big prize was a car. And the final guest on The Late Late Show this particular night was Brendan Kennelly. Brendan Kennelly's poem, Begin, is in this collection we're going to be talking about today. Anyway, Gay, as was the tradition and still is tradition, was ringing the winner at the end of the show. Brendan Kennelly was still on his left, and he goes, "Hello, Rita. Gay Byrne here. You've won a car." And Gay then was taken aback by her lack of reaction, her lack of delight. And then Rita explained to Gay that her daughter Linda had died the previous night. She was only 33. She'd been knocked down by a car. And Gay commiserated with her. This is all on live television. And then he said to Brendan Kennelly, the late Brendan Kennelly, "Would you have anything that's appropriate?" Well, let's hear the voice of the late Gay Byrne and see how it panned out.
Brendan, would the poem fit in here? We're way over time, but I know you had a poem.
I'll say it for Rita. Begin again to the carolling birds, to the sight of light at the window. Begin to the roar of morning traffic all along Pembroke Road. Though we live in a world that dreams of ending, that always seems about to give in, something that will not acknowledge conclusion insists that we forever begin.
And on that occasion, Brendan Kennelly had the words to comfort Rita, who was grieving, lost her daughter the night before. And that's, in essence, what this book is about. Poems for When You Can't Find the Words. It's for people who are facing death and people who are grieving death. And we're going to be talking to Mary Shine Thompson about that on the show today. Anyway, 51551 ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon.
I want to take you somewhere, so you know I care, but it's so cold and I don't know where. I brought you daffodils on a pretty string, but they won't flower like they did last spring. And I want to kiss you, make you feel alright.
Tom O'Dell, Another Love on RT Radio 1, 51551 ray@rte.ie. And somebody's asking, do you have to cook for them? I have spare room but couldn't cook for them. They could do cereal for breakfast. They would be very welcome. Well, there's, as I said, it's you know, it's not all over the country. There are some projects like this in Limerick, and I know there's one in Dublin, but I don't know if it's all over the country. Grage has been around for years, Ray. Has it really? Well, sure, what would I know if it has to be a shade of blue or white? That's all I know about, and preferably navy. You can all still take your child's picture on their first day of school, but just like your parents and grandparents before you, don't post it online. Why does everything have to be posted online? Asks Noel, and a good question that is, Noel. Now, we're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Reeling in the Ears quiz. We have questions on songs, news reports, TV shows and movies from over the years and the decades. And there is a prize. It's a two-night stay for two in a four-star hotel in the I Knew It collection. They have a stunning array of hotels dotted across Ireland. So, for example, you can kick back in Kilkenny's chic Hibernian Hotel, enjoy some downtime in Dundalk's Fairways Hotel, taste the magic in the Tullamore Court Hotel and Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, or you can visit any of the Radisson Blu hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. There's something for everyone to enjoy, from overnight getaways and spa treatments to elegant afternoon tea or a delicious meal in one of the many restaurants across the I Knew It collection. iknewit.ie, iknewit.ie. Okay, here's your qualifying question for today, this Tuesday afternoon. Comedian Chris Rock has reportedly turned down the chance to host what major film awards ceremony next year? Comedian Chris Rock has reportedly turned down the chance to host what major film awards ceremony next year? 0818715925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, over the weekend, we spotted a video of local postman to Mount Rath and Portlaoise, Seamus Brennan, saying goodbye to the dogs on his route because he was retiring. Here's a bit of the audio from the video. Seamus Brennan saying goodbye to the dogs on his postal route.
You're the best dog in the world, aren't you? I'm going to miss you. Now, here you are. I'm giving you one little treat, little bone for you, and I won't see you anymore. Is that fair enough? You'll be a good dog when I'm gone. Will you? Okay, here you go. Goodbye. Goodbye, you two. See you tomorrow, all right? No, I won't see you anymore. You want one more? Okay. But that's the last one you'll ever get off of me, okay? I'm going to throw it on the ground so that you can get it, okay? There you go. Goodbye.
And off he goes. Postman Seamus in his van, but he's on the line now. How are you doing, Seamus?
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Great to talk to you.
God, Ray, you know what? I wanted to go out with this job quietly, and now I find myself on the Ray Darcy Show. My God.
You've arrived, Seamus. You've arrived.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ray. Yeah.
Listen, obviously, some post people would be running away from dogs. You were the complete opposite.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you have to get the dogs when they're little pups, Ray, because, you know, let them get a smell of you and give them the little treat, and you have them hooked then for the rest of their lives. So, and if you get an old dog, Ray, he'll never change his habits. He'll go for the tires.
So they say, anyway, yeah. How long did you work with on post, Seamus?
Joined in 1985, say 37 years altogether, yeah.
Yeah.
37, so I'm happy to retire, to
okay,
you the truth.
Well, I'm looking at the stats here. You're 63. How come you return at 63? You'll have to explain yourself.
Well, Ray, when I was 16, I joined the army, the apprenticeship scheme in Naas, and I was with the 20th platoon in Divi Barracks, Naas, and if any of the 20th guys are listening, I'd just say hello to them all out there. A great bunch of guys. So, Ray, I did 5 years with the army and 2 years then in McDermott Barracks on the Curragh Camp. Mm. So, after that, then I decided the army wasn't for me, and I did the old purchase thing, you know. So, I ended up then in, of all places, Ray, I ended up in South Africa for a few years, and
what did you do over there?
When I was in the army, I trained as an electrician, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I went out to South Africa then, and I worked in the coal refinery plant. We were refining coal and turning it into oil, so that's what I worked at
right.
out there. And I said I'd come home then, and so I saw an ad for on post, and I ended up then in the post.
And you did the same route for all of those years?
No, not for all. I started off in Sheriff Street.
Right.
And then I did a year there and came back to Portlaoise, and then another year in Portlaoise, and saw one of the postmen retired then in Mount Rath, and I applied for it and got it. So I ended up in Mount Rath.
I've said this over and over again, and you know, I don't know what sort of man you are, whether you'll take a compliment or not, but I would imagine you're the same, that post people are, you know, part of the fabric of communities, and they provide services far beyond just delivering letters and packages.
Yes, well, that proved itself in the pandemic.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe the amount of, you know, messages we had to carry out to people, the amount of prescriptions we had to collect. Unbelievable amount of things. Bring the newspaper every morning, you know.
And so, did you get a sense, Seamus, over the years that there were some people that you were their only human contact maybe for the day?
Well, you'd like to think so.
You know,
I know myself, when you go to some places, it's hard to get away from people, you know, and then you tell yourself, they probably saw no one for a day or two, you know, and there used to be a human contact with them, you know, like,
yeah, yeah. So you're still a young man. So you've loads of hobbies. Go on.
Yeah, I'm 63 now, Ray, and I suppose I love the beekeeping, which right. is I love the fishing.
Okay.
And I have my motorbikes to keep me busy as well. I have three motorbikes here, and a Suzuki, Honda, and a Kawasaki. So.
And what CC are we talking?
Well, we're talking about the Honda is a 750 Magna,
right.
and the Suzuki is a 650 Bandit, and the Kawasaki is a KMX 125. So between the three of them, now I can only go one at a time.
That's I was going to say that. Motorbikes are like toilets; you can only use one at a time. Yeah. How did you happen into the beekeeping?
Well, I tell you, Ray, there was a gardener by the name of Paddy Merriman from Port Leash, and when he got older then, he asked me to drive him out to his bees.
Mm.
So I drove him out to his bees anyway, and they'd sit in the car and they'd look at him doing his bits and pieces, you know. And he'd put the honey boxes on, and he'd come out, he'd ask me maybe once a month just to check them that they're still on, and I'd put new honey supers, we call them, on the boxes. And the poor man died anyway, and one day then, knock came to the door, and his wife, we used to call her Nurse Merryman, she used to deliver the babies in Port Leash, but she came to the door anyway, and she said, I'm afraid Seamus Paddy has left you all his beehives.
I'm afraid he's left
So I had to go and look into beekeeping then, so I joined the Dun & Mace Beekeepers Association in Port Leash, and that's where my bee career took off then.
So yeah. Paddy Merriman, that's lovely though, yeah. to keep Paddy's memory alive through his bees. Yeah,
great gardener. Yeah,
yeah, oh, that's lovely. So you won't be idle anyway with the coarse fishing and the beekeeping and the motorbikes and
and my wife, she'll have a few jobs left for me as well, I reckon.
Right. How are you around the house? Are you a good DIY man?
Oh, well, you know, when you're a postman, you're home early. When I say 3:30,
yeah.
3:15, and my God, if you don't have the dinner on the table and she comes in to be warm.
Right, there you go. So, yeah. Well, listen, enjoy your retirement.
Thanks, Ray.
And you brightened up people's lives over the weekend with that bit of video there.
I just want to blame my son, Niall, for all this hassle that they're causing.
Okay.
He's the one that put that video on TikTok or whatever you call it.
And do you want to name check some of the dogs on your round, or are you fearful that you leave one of them out?
Oh well, yeah, you have Benji, and you have Kroger, and you have Kroger. Let me see now, what's the other little lad's name? Jesus,
you forgot them already, huh? You've moved on. You've moved on, Seamus Brennan. Listen, Seamus, don't worry about it. Listen.
Thanks for ringing, Ray.
Lovely talking to you. Okay, Seamus, see you now.
Love your show. Love your show, Ray.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, they're still looking for people for our quiz. The qualifying question today is, comedian Chris Rock has reportedly turned down the chance to host what major film awards ceremony next year? I'm looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock. 0818 715 925. 0818 715 925. Poems for When You Can't Find the Words is a poetry collection edited by Mary Shine Thompson. And Mary Shine Thompson is sitting in front of me. Good afternoon, Mary. Thanks for coming in.
Hello, Ray. It's great to be here. And Ray, I have to say, I'm delighted to meet you because you have been in my kitchen more often than most people I know.
Okay. I'm delighted to be there. Isn't radio great? Because it's just there in the background.
That's exactly
And
it.
If you want to tune in, you can. If not, it's just company fabulous, there in the background. Yeah.
That's exactly it.
It's an odd thing because it's unlike television. Television is a sort of an active thing, whereas radio is more just sitting there. Now, I'm surprised this hasn't been done before, really.
So am I, yeah. Ray.
Go
yes.
on. Now, tell us about the genesis of the whole thing.
Yeah, what happened was, in fact, it wasn't my idea at all. A friend of mine from Poetry Ireland, Jane O'Hanlon is her name, she was talking to somebody from the Irish Hospice Foundation, Rebecca Lloyd, and between them they said, surely we should do something like this. And it seemed to make perfect sense because the Hospice Foundation is there to care for people at the end of life and also for their families and friends and I suppose the professionals as well. And then Poetry Ireland has this set of tools and this set of contacts with people who know how to talk about things that matter.
Mm.
And so they got together and we sort of set up a team and we had lots of arguments. And my only regret is that it isn't bigger because, you know, there were so many we would have liked. But we're delighted with this.
And you get the final say because you're the editor. It's
That's
your
right.
name on the cover.
That's
yes.
right.
Okay.
Not often I can make my presence felt.
So poets are wordsmiths. And when it comes to death, we're often stuck for words. So that's the, I suppose, that's the basis of the whole, the crux of the whole thing, that in this book, we're providing you're providing people words to talk about death. And it's split into two halves. The first half is for people who are facing death and the second half is for people who are grieving.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Although the boundaries really aren't policed, do you know what I mean? I think if you're the person at the end of life, you may want to read the other poems and see how your family are thinking or might be thinking about you. And also the other way around, you will want to know what it is like insofar as you can, where the person who's at the end of life is. And there's one of the poems in there by Don Patterson called Nil Nil, where he says, this is where you get off, reader. And, you know, the person who's dying has to go on their own. It's a journey you're going on your own, but this is as near as we can get to relating to each other about it.
We've had loads of conversations about death on this programme. Yeah. I'm sort of fascinated by it because, you know, it comes to us all, as we know. But one of the things, a recurring theme of late is that, yes, in Ireland, we're good at the ritual around death, as in, you know, the burial and the funeral and the waking and all that. But in the years beforehand, if somebody knows they're going to die, and the years after, we're not so good at that part of it, which is the majority of time around death, isn't it?
Yeah, it's extraordinary, really, although I think we might be using the losing the traditional rituals that we had associated with it. And in a way, this is why this is important, too, because it gives you alternative humanist rituals, I suppose. But to go back to your point, you remember Seamus Heaney, whatever you say, say nothing. And the more important it is, the less you might want to say about
it.
And there is that sort of tradition. And then I suppose it's very difficult for some of us to express our emotions openly. And maybe some. And one of the things I remember now that I mentioned Seamus Heaney is maybe 30 years ago, a lot of funerals you went to, people read Midterm Break because it was one of the poems they learned at school that talked about death, I think, and that enabled them to express an emotion that they didn't have other words to describe it with.
It's interesting that you mentioned humanist
and
that more and more people will be buried outside of the church and they'll need words. And I suppose this book will be sought after, it'll be referenced.
I'm hoping that they'll find something there that's, you know, respectful and dignified and is spiritual in its own way without adhering to the kind of traditional churches or gathering meeting houses way of expressing it. So, and also I think it won't, it's something that I think will work quite happily within church settings.
As well.
There's nothing there I think that would be objectionable.
So it's like impossible to imagine what it's like to be given a terminal diagnosis, to know that, I know we're all facing it, but that it's imminent. And that's what happens to people who are end up in hospices. And what could possibly comfort you and provide succour at a time like that, in words, do you think?
I think we may have a slightly better understanding than we as a result of the whole COVID experience that brought all that anxiety and that sense of an imminent end into all our lives. It could be anyone today or tomorrow was the sort of a sensation that was around there. And therefore, we're all closer to it. But I agree with you. Nobody knows. This is where you and I get off.
Yes, as you said,
on their own. And what are the words that help? I think it helps if you're honest about the emotions that are there. If you don't try to gloss over the fact that, you know, there are terrible aspects to this, that there's anger and regret. And I have poems in here that speak about anger, I think, and regret, and put them in the voice of the person who may be confronting death. But I also think you need to think that, yes, there's also the possibility of some kind of calm and there's hope. And your lovely poem from Brendan Kennelly,
oh, yes. Yeah.
That you started with, you know, we've purposely ended this with the word begin. The last word is begin.
And is that consolation for the people who are left behind? Or what do you think? Isn't that the thing about poetry, though? That you know, obviously, when a writer is writing it, they have something in their head. But as a reader, then, we can take from it.
Absolutely. But I also think there might be consolation for the person who's dying. There's a poem in there by written by Derek Mann when he was dying, and okay. He knew that death was any moment, writing against the clock, the flying calendar. Don't give up or give in, he tells himself. We're obliged to stick it out until the poem falls from the trembling hand. So just get on with it.
Yeah.
Now, that's one way of talking about
yes.
it, and that good northern forthrightness.
And it is, and we were hearing about this all the time, live in the moment, because we do
right.
not know, do we?
We don't
do
know not the know. Day nor the hour.
No.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
Right.
For tomorrow we die.
Yeah.
The other, I find Seamus Heaney is a sort of an ongoing presence in all of this. But if
Miracle is in the book.
Miracle is there, and it's there on purpose, because Miracle acknowledges the carers. If you remember, that's about a miracle that happened. A man was paralysed, he was brought in, and there was this miracle and he was cured. And the poem says, don't forget the people who carried in his bed and the ropes tore into their shoulders. And so this is dedicated to the carers, the cleaners, the helpers, the doctors, the nurses. You know, they're the important people, and the people at home too. Mm. So I kind of wanted those to be remembered. But another thing, if you remember, when he was dying himself, it's reported that he said, Nolly Timmeray, don't be afraid. He texted to his wife,
right.
Don't be afraid. And I think that's worth remembering. Don't be afraid.
Yeah. Do you fear death?
I have had a bit of a brush with mortality myself in recent times. And I've had to say, no, I think I can go to there with some degree of serenity. And of course, a whole lot of regret. But that's it.
Where does that serenity come from? Because is it because you feel you've reached a certain age and achieved certain things? Is that it? Or is it something?
Isn't it in the natural course of life? You know, it should have a beginning. And there is, I suppose. But the ending is a beginning of another kind of way of being in the world. You know, you're remembered or you're not remembered, even
but
as
you're
the
not
case
around
may
to know
be.
Whether you are remembered or not.
And that's fine too. The mother of a friend who died recently was telling me, they were telling me that she was ready to go. She kept saying,
yeah.
I hope that the Lord will take me because I'm ready to go. And I think that's a good way to be.
And we've Catherine Mannix. I don't know if you've read Catherine Mannix's book. Anyway, in her work, and she's a palliative care consultant, she found that people have this sort of ability to hang on for something. It might be a birthday or a wedding or somebody returning from America.
Yeah.
But people, and there is a certain amount of control for some people when it comes to dying.
It does seem extraordinary. I can give you a personal example of that. My brother died when he was 25 in 1977. Suddenly he had a heart attack.
Wow.
And exactly 20 years to the day later, my father died. And he had been dying for a while, for, you know, a couple of weeks. And it was on that day.
The anniversary.
Yes, exactly.
Dying at 25.
Yes.
What age were you?
I was 26. I was next to him.
That doesn't leave you.
devastating for everyone, and none of us had the words to talk about it. And maybe that's one of the reasons why I'm sitting here now, you know.
And afterwards, then, because the second half of the book is about people who are grieving. And there's some lovely consolation in it. There is some lovely consolation in it. But where did you find your consolation back then? Can you remember? Because people are awkward around it, and particularly when somebody dies that young and that suddenly.
That's right. It was difficult because I had no experience of it. I didn't know where to turn. The concept of the therapist hadn't really hit Ireland yet at that time. And even if it had, I suppose we wouldn't have known how to engage with a therapist back then. So I suppose you just flailed around and you depended on the family. Mm. And indeed, you kind of... It was the silences in the family that carried the thing forward very often. And I think those rituals, you know, the ritual mass every year in September, that was very important and continues to be important.
And there is a recurring theme in some of the poems of time and the seasons. And
that's right.
The world keeps turning.
Yeah.
And not that you get over it,
yes,
but you learn to live with it.
And, you know, there's a poem by Anne Leahy, for example, where she talks about that kind of a country funeral. And I thought, given the whole COVID experience, we had to lay aside some of those funeral experiences. And she has captured that in a way that I think is you know, helpful, I hope, to people. Some kind of a consolation,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole countryside, the fact that the living and dying is part of the whole natural cycle has to be important to people too, I think.
But you spoke about anger earlier on, and often when people lose loved ones, part of their anger is directed towards the world, and it, you know, that person is still going to work, that person is still
That's
cycling
right.
a bike. How dare they?
That's right.
The bottom has fallen out of my world.
You yeah.
know, that, and
I think the psychologist in your background is coming out now, isn't it? And the other thing I think that's important there is maybe that one would have a bit of a sense of humour about it. You know, at that sad funeral, there was a relative now gone to her
This
reward,
is your brother's funeral, yeah.
Yes, where, you know, she wore two different large hats, you know, one for each day of the funeral.
Oh, Christ, okay.
And, you know, you need to be able to laugh at things.
Well, I suppose people tell jokes at funerals, you know.
That's the graveyard humour.
Humour, yes. Yeah.
And then, you know, the undertaker, you know, these humorous, darkly humorous undertakers are all part of the thing. And I think there's a good poem, I don't know if you liked it, by John O'Leary, the one, The To-Do List.
Yes,
his bucket list before he died.
Right, yeah.
You know, here's a... You know,
read some of that first.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're dying, you don't necessarily use your sense of humour. It overnight, you know. So this is John O'Leary's poem, To-Do List. Number one, find dragon and slay. Number two, exorcise the cat. Number three, prove conclusively the identity of beauty and truth. Four, watch, fast and pray. Five, sail Atlantic single-handed. Six, write name in water. Seven, return the teacher yourself waltzing tape. Eight, weep for Adonais and feel bad. Nine, write her a letter telling her you love her. 10, go out into the midnight and check new stars. Yeah. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
And then there's another one there by Kieran Carson where he talks about all the things that he fears, you know.
Yeah.
And like they're world class reasons for being anxious.
I remember talking to and I know you were talking about your bush with mortality. I remember talking to a family whose the dad had got a terminal diagnosis of cancer, and I was asking about the bucket list.
Yes.
And his wife, who was a lovely woman, they were from Bray, and she replied going, No, we've no bucket list. We're not flying to Disneyland or whatever. We're doing what we do, and we're doing it to the best of our ability. And so
and the that's list celebrating the everyday, ordinary, which is wonderful.
As a family, you know, having family meals, sitting down, watching movies, those things.
That's what matters in the long run, isn't it?
Because it sounds exhausting, doesn't it? Rushing to get a bucket list completed. yes. Tick things off.
The most famous bucket list that I can remember, now I know, don't have any inside personal insight. Do you remember Nulo Fuelon went around with her family, and that was, you know, quite, she went around, she did a lot of travelling and they went to the theatre and all kinds
But she, you remember that brilliant interview she did with Marion Finucane?
Indeed I do.
And the line that stuck with me, and still I think of it every so often, that when she got the diagnosis, the joy went out of life.
Yes.
That, just like that, you know, like the joy went out of food, the joy went out of good wine or whatever, theatre, all the joy went out of it.
Yes.
Now, just some comments here on our text. Can someone tell me who the lady on the radio is? Mary Shine Thompson. Mary Shine Thompson. Will I read your CV out for them, Mary? Oh, no, I won't. I knew you'd be that type of person. So, my husband of nearly 50 years died very, very suddenly 7 months ago. For no particular reason, I'm having the worst 2 days since. When I sympathise with people who had lost a loved one, I never really knew what they were going through until now. And that's it. There are good days and bad days. And there'll be good days and years to come, and there'll be bad days and years to come. And I think, I remember somebody pointing out to me, and it was because some people talk about getting over it. And that never happens.
No, you accommodate it.
Yes,
I think.
Accommodate it, right.
And maybe, you know, the scar tissue grows over the worst of it, and maybe you become better for it or different.
There are some poems about, you know, losing loved ones, and half, I can't remember the name of the poem, but it's like losing half yourself.
That's right. But I just want to sympathise with that woman, and I hope she finds some consolation, even maybe the odd word of consolation. And I'd love her to have this book, and if she'd like to give you her address, I'd send
her one. There you go. That's
one.
Very kind of you. That's very kind of you. Good and apt to hear Seamus Heaney referenced, as today is the anniversary of his death. 9 years, I think, is it? My mother died the same
2013,
day.
2013, I think.
As my brother, although she was consciously unaware of the date. So my mother died the same day.
Yes, of course.
Regarding death, John Lennon said it was just like getting out of one car and getting into another. As good a description as any. Keep up the good work. That's Michael and Burr. So Poems for When You Can't Find the Words, a comforting collection from Irish Hospice Foundation and Poetry Ireland. And it's edited by Mary Shine Thompson. And you know already that Brendan Kennelly is in there. Seamus Heaney is in there. Shakespeare is there.
That's right.
So and
he was one of the earliest therapists, I think, Shakespeare. When you read him, you find actually he had a lot of those answers.
He had a great understanding of the human condition.
He did.
Well, he couldn't have written what he wrote if he didn't. Yeah.
That's right.
And there's some poems that have been commissioned specially for the collection, and there are new writers, and there's Oscailge, and there's translations.
That's right. Yeah. And the new Irish poets are in there, some of them, which is very exciting. Okay. And we commission new Irish poems as well, because you're entitled to die in Irish if that's the way you want to do it.
Right.
And some of us wouldn't mind that at all.
Mary Shine Thompson, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Ray.
It's been a real pleasure
to talk to you.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So Poems for When You Can't Find the Words is, and Mary Shine Thompson, we were speaking to her. The gift that poets share and have shared through the ages is the ability to find words when we have none. That's what it says in the back, and it's published by Gill Books. You would have read it today in the papers and heard of people talking about it, but Cable Street in Dublin has been ranked the 22nd coolest street in the world by Time Out magazine. And joining us from the 22nd coolest street in the world is David Lennon, one of the owners of Lennon's Hardware. Hello, David.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, do I say congratulations?
Yeah, well, congratulations to everyone on the street. You know, we've got a really vibrant street with a huge range of different businesses. We have a lot of independent owners, lots of restaurants, hardware stores like ourselves, Lennon's of Cable Street.
How long have you been there?
We've actually, funny enough, we were founded in 1865, but we are in Cable Street since 1890, Ray.
Wow.
So we've seen a lot of stuff, a lot of chapters unfolding over the years in Dublin City. Like the World War One, the Rising, World War Two, and now we have a new chapter unfolding. We have the pedestrianisation of Cable Street, which is, I personally think, a wonderful thing that's happening. Is to drive extra people into our shops and restaurants. We also have a website that we developed just before the pandemic hit, lennons.ie, and this was very exciting for us as well. because it gave us a chance to trade when we were closed.
Yes.
And now since the pandemic is over and pedestrianisation is there, it is going to drive more people in, because now it's much easier to get around the street with no traffic.
There must be a completely different atmosphere now because of the pedestrianisation of Cape Street.
It is. It's completely different. Yeah. It's much easier to walk around. You have more time in your hands. Look at all the different shops. It was much more difficult to try and maneuver around congested traffic. It was very hard.
Will I read the citation there from Time Out, just to give people an idea? It might be tough to spot Dublin's coolest street right off the beat, but spend a bit of time here in Capel Street and you'll discover that the buzz on the street is like no other in the city. You won't find the glamorous shops of Grafton Street or the tourist trap pubs of Temple Bar here. Instead, you'll find a whirl of culture and some of the best food in Dublin, usually without any frills. Locals know they're good, so there's no need for fuss. There's genuinely also something new to discover on Capel Street, whether it's a steamy bowl of authentic pho, a lively Moroccan restaurant with karaoke from noon tonight to brunch at the super popular Brother Hubbard. Plus, the street has recently been pedestrianised, making it the ideal spot for sipping pints in the sun and just generally hanging out. And you can also get any screw type from Lennon's Hardware. I'm just adding this in at the end here, Dave.
You're very good, right? Yeah. But you know, you're absolutely right. There's more soul in the city. If you look at the other pedestrianised streets like Grafton Street and Henry Street, they wouldn't have the soul that Capel Street has just become. It has just become such a soulful, vibrant street.
Yeah.
Like no other in Ireland at the moment, anyway.
Just because you have Panty Bar down at the end, and I know there's Sounds Around there, which provides DJ equipment, and then you have Lennon's,
right,
and you have all these loads of ethnic restaurants. So it's a street like no other. And as you say as well, and it's not high street, because unfortunately some of the other streets have gone. You could be in London or New York or anywhere in the world, when you walk up Grafton Street, couldn't you? Because they're all the same.
It's
shops.
Kind of homogenous, yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
Whereas Capel Street is very much Dublin.
It is. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Well, great talking to you, David.
And you too, Ray. Thank you for
And congratulations again.
Show.
And Lenehan's there since 1890. Thank you.
1819 Cape Street, 1865.
Radio. See you, David.
Thank you, Ray.
See you. Bye. One thing on my bucket list is there. I won't read that one out. Let's tell you about our quiz before we meet our quizzers. Now, we've two people waiting, and there is a prize, and it's a two-night stay in a four-star hotel from one of the Ainua collection. They have hotels all over the country: the Hibernian Hotel in Kilkenny, Dundalk's Fairways Hotel, Tullamore Court Hotel, Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, and any of the Radisson Blue hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick, and Sligo. Ainua.ie. Hello, Maeve Fitzgerald in Galway.
Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
I'm good. So you've just saved your boyfriend Mitch's bacon.
I sure have.
How'd you do that?
Basically, he's sitting his theory test and he forgot his identification, i.e. his passport.
Right.
So I'm sitting here in a very warm car outside the test centre.
Okay. In fairness to Mitch, you're stressed out when you have to take your theory test. So that's the brain doesn't work as it normally would. Or is this form for Mitch, would you say?
No, I'd say he just got a bit stressed or whatever.
Yeah. So you drove around, got his passport, delivered it there. Has he sat it yet, or is he in the middle of it, or what's happening?
He's sitting it at half sort.
Right, okay. Right.
Yeah.
And he's done all his homework and all that.
He has.
Yeah. Have you done it?
I have, yeah. I'm sitting in my own car here outside the test centre, so yeah.
Yeah, you've done it, okay.
1 year on the road.
Oh, brilliant, yeah. And your business is new enough as well.
Yeah, we just celebrated 1 year in business there about 2 weekends ago.
What's your business?
So it's called Sauce of Foods Galway, and it is basically a range of three hot sauces.
Right.
So, yeah.
Give us your range. What are they called?
So we have jalapeno and pineapple, which is the mild, and then medium we have peach and habanero with jerk spice, and then there's a Scotch bonnet, which is the hottest out of the three, so that would be the very spicy one, I guess you could say.
And is it, because is it a crowded enough market, the hot sauces market?
There's a bit, like, I think it's funny, like, I do a lot of markets and I get tourists, you know, they find it ironic that Ireland even has hot sauce, but it's growing steadily, I'll say that much.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a market for it, for sure.
Yeah, because the big ones, of course, everyone knows Frank's hot sauce. What you bring to it is different flavours. So you have the peach and you have the pineapple.
Exactly.
And would you use your hot sauce over chicken wings?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, like, it's okay. Kind of, I nearly put it in my cereal, I guess I would say that. There's a lot of uses for it. Definitely works as a marinade as well. So,
right. Okay.
Yeah, both of things.
And is it, so this is your life now, is it, Sosta, or is it too early to say?
It is.
And is Mitch part of it, or is...
Mitch is, it's a bit of a one-woman show, but Mitch, so I'm in a good few shops at the moment, but then I do the main market in town, so he'll come in and give a hand, he's
right.
Very good.
Okay, yeah. And I believe to cool down, you're going for a swim at Salt Hill. Nice.
Yeah, I can't wait to get out of the sun, I hear.
Yeah, lovely, I'm jealous. You're up against April Clancy in Tremore. How are you doing, April?
Hello, Ray, how are you?
Good. So you are at home with two daughters?
Yeah, I've got one here with me at the moment and the other one's out and about.
Uh-huh.
And the dog is here. So
the dog is here, right.
Most importantly.
What's the name of the dog?
Cookie.
And the name of the children?
I've got two girls, Ellen. She's going back to school this week. She's going to do her leaving cert. And Casey is not here. She's going back to college.
Uh-huh. And you're going back to work when?
The 12th, I think.
September. And you've been off for a while, have you? The summer off?
I've been in and out, kind of. I work as staff in WIT in college, well, at the university now in Waterford. So, yeah, back properly now. I'm not a lecturer or anything, Ray. I'm just clerical staff.
Oh, that's fine. And Tremore is enjoying a sort of resurgence in popularity, I think. I was down there a couple of times when I was on holidays, and there's a confidence about it that I haven't witnessed before. Am I imagining things?
No, you're not. I've been there now, kind of a blow-in, but 9 years nearly, so it has been, I think it's after COVID, it's been really kind of busy, but it's come on so much as well, like the amusement and the touristy part that people come to is not my favourite, but all the other parts, even this year, so many more nice cafes and restaurants. It's been all made one way and there's lovely places to walk and it's just really nice. And of course, I prefer the autumn.
You've probably visited this numerous occasions, maybe you haven't, but we visited the Japanese Gardens, which is in the heart of Tremore. It's a little
very
gem.
Beautiful.
It's a little gem.
Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, and a lot of work went into it.
Yes.
They're brilliant, yeah.
And so there's a man there, Hearn is his name, and he wrote books about Japan, and he also wrote fantasy novels for children. He's huge in Japan, big name in Japan. I think his books are still read in school over there, I think. Anyway, that's the Japanese connection with Tremore. He used to holiday in Tremore.
Yeah, very lucky to have it. It's very big attraction.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
And if anybody's around the way having a sort of a last-minute holiday before they settle down for the winter and they're in the vicinity of Tremore, go and visit the Japanese gardens. Okay, so it's May versus April. Good luck to you both. You know the deal. Three questions each. If you go for a long question, you get a point. A shorter question is more difficult, so you get 2 points for that. Whoever has the most points gets the prize, or if it's a draw on points, we go to a tie-break question. Here we go. Right, Maeve, the year is 2011 and we're starting at the movies. Do you want to go long or short?
Sure, we'll give short a go.
Okay, these All Singing, All Dancing, Furry Friends make a comeback, or made a comeback in 2011. Can you name the movie?
A show? But I've spent years building a solo career. I have a whole new showbiz family that loves me.
Oh, God. I was hoping it wouldn't be like a kids' movie.
All right. And it is a kids' movie, yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, I suppose it is, but not. It is,
Can
but
you
not.
Say the question one more time? Sorry.
All Singing, All Dancing, Furry Friends made a comeback in 2011.
OK. Okay, is it Furbies or something? I don't know.
It's the Muppets.
The Muppets, oh,
yes.
Okay.
It's hard to put on the makeup. No points. For Maeve, April, still at the movies, 2011, long or short?
Short, please.
Okay. Two worlds collide in this crime comedy. Can you name the film? Here is your short clip.
You ever been to the States?
Yeah, once. Disney World.
What, you went when you were a kid with your family or something?
No, this was last year.
You went with a girlfriend?
No, God, no.
Oh.
Any idea?
I recognise it, but...
No, nothing coming.
I'm not sure, right? Is it my man Brendan Gleeson in it, the Irish thing, now The Guard?
It is The Guard, and it is Brendan Gleeson, yes.
Brilliant. Well done, yeah. It's him that gave it to me. It's
He's a very recognisable voice, and that was John Cheadle as well, who was also in it. The Guard, you get 2 points for that. That's a good start. Maeve, you're under pressure.
I would have gotten that one.
Yeah,
okay. Sorry. It's okay.
Okay, 2011 music. Let's see how you're doing this one. This song, Serenely, are you going to go long or short?
I'll stick to short, yeah.
Okay. This song serenely sat at the top of the charts in 2011. Can you name it or the band who sang it or sing it? Here's your short clip.
When she was just a girl. Coldplay.
Yes. 2 points for that. Paradise. Well done on that. April.
Do we need to swap Maeve? I knew that one. You got your neck to us.
Okay, April. Are you going to go long or short on music from 2011?
I'll try short.
Short, okay. This hit gathered a lot of momentum before taking its place at the top of the charts. Can you name the song or the singer?
There's a fire starting in my that's Adele.
It is Adele, Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah.
That was from her second album and gets you 2 points. Now, Maeve, you are still under pressure because April's on four. You have to go short on this and hope that April doesn't get her final question correct. And if that happens, we'll go to a tiebreak situation. If she gets anything out of her final question, that's she's today's winner. Anyway, for the moment, are you going to go short? You have to go short.
We will, yeah.
Yes, okay. News and current affairs. 2011 was the year Ireland got a visit from an awfully famous world leader. Can you name who it was? And here's a short clip.
The heavy squalls of rain didn't deter the 3,000 or so people who had lined the streets of the village since 11
Obama?
O'clock this morning.
Yes. That's Charlie Bird reporting on the Obama visit. And the town in question was Moneygall. And you get 2 points. So you're on four, which is a very respectable score, Maeve. But April is also on four. She has a question in hand. So, April... what's it going to be? As I say, if you get anything out of this question, you're today's winner.
Oh, well, I'll have to go long then, right?
Go long. Okay.
Sorry, mate.
Okay, we're sticking with politics. It was a big year as well for an Irish politician. Can you tell us who it was and why? And here's your short clip. And sorry, you want a long clip, don't you? Sorry. Long clip, here we go.
For his victory, he thanked the Labour Party, independent Oireachtas members and groups, and indeed all of those who had supported him.
And of course... I am particularly grateful to the more than million people who have said that I am acceptable to them.
Who's that?
Is that the man, Ray, we're talking about?
Yeah, the man.
Michael D.
Yeah, Michael D. Higgins, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it. Uachtaráin Éireann, the President of Ireland, you get a point. You're today's winner. Maeve, sorry about that.
No problem, it was fun coming on anyway.
The Muppets got you. The Muppets.
I know, if only my boyfriend was here as well, he loves it.
Yeah, you should watch that. With Mitch. Maybe that's what you do tonight.
We'll see.
It's you won't be disappointed. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. Okay. We're going to send you out a couple of Red Astro mugs. You, Mitch, on the couch, hot chocolates, and the Muppets. Okay,
lovely.
See you, mate. Bye.
Bye.
April, well done.
Thank you so
you're
much.
Today's
Ray,
winner. So you can go to inua.ie and decide where you're going to go from the choice you have there. Kilkenny, Dundalk, Tullamore, Monaghan, Athlone, Cork, Limerick, Sligo. The choice
sounds
is yours.
Amazing, inua.ie. That's brilliant. Anywhere at all would be great.
Okay, April, mind yourself. See
you. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank
bye.
You.
Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Ellen in Dublin says, I can vouch for the wonderful online service that Lenihan's provided during the COVID period. Super efficient. Regards. And then Elle is on, I'm jealous of you and your damson tree. They grow wild in North Meath. I think they grow wild in Kildare as well. We always bottle damsons and plums in Kilner jars. They're lovely around Christmas. Lots of recipes in old recipe books or Mr. Google. Try it sometime. They freeze well too. So there. Now, we're delighted to be joined from Cork by sports journalist and disability rights activist Joanne O'Riordan. Joanne is taking part in the Run and Roll for Inclusivity with the Irish Wheelchair Association and Liberty Insurance. And she's there. Hello, Joanne.
How are you?
I missed you.
I know, I missed you too. I missed you too.
No, I mean that sincerely. I'm not. You know, I did because you're a very positive presence, and we haven't spoken in, it seems, like years. Is it? It could be years. Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Gee, it's so long now at this stage. I think it was actually the start of COVID. We were talking to each other.
Yeah, and a lot of has happened in your life over that period. You got a dog.
The most exciting news. I know, I was saying it to your producer earlier that he was super quiet around the house, which is never a good sign if you have a dog, but he's with my mother now. But Bruce is his name. He's a Hungarian Wisla, and we called him Bruce after all of our favorite Bruces. So surely you have a favorite Bruce now, Ray, no pressure.
Well, Bruce Forsyth will be my favorite Bruce,
because exactly.
I grew up watching Bruce Forsyth, and he's the consummate professional and the light entertainment king. So it would be Bruce Forsyth. Who's your favorite Bruce?
I'm a Springsteen person.
Oh, you're
right.
Okay. Yeah.
I would prefer if he was more like a Bruce Forsyth than was the utmost professional, because at the moment it's just pure destruction, rock and roll, a mix of Bruce Willis and Bruce Lee, I think, at the moment.
Bruce,
I have.
Bruce Lee. Yeah. You're too young to remember the Bruce Lee movies. And that was dangerous when they showed the movies in the local cinema, because you'd be walking
that's
back.
Living with the dog.
What?
Said living with the dog.
Yeah, you'd be walking home, and somebody would try and do their best Bruce Lee impersonation, jumping out from behind a bush or something. Anyway, so Bruce Lee, Bruce Willis, Bruce Forsyth, and Bruce Springsteen. So they're all the Bruces in your house, and now Bruce the dog. Brilliant.
Yeah, Bruce the dog, exactly.
What age is he?
Bruce is only 4 months, actually. He's very big. He's about 17 inches to the shoulder. 17 inches to the shoulder.
Yeah.
So, he's very big. But, you know, his, my aim for him anyways, in October when he's 6 months, is he's going for training for 6 weeks to see if we can develop him into an assistant dog.
Okay, right. And so where will he go? Will he go to the place in Cork there, or...?
So he's going to a place in Tipperary who specialise in it. So it's kind of funny because they usually specialise in security training. So I took him to a football match on Sunday, and one of the lads was kind of messing, saying, if we're losing, you'll just set him on one of the best players. And I was like, well, you never know.
And will he be your assistant dog, Joanne, will he?
Fingers crossed. If he continues his Bruce Willis phase, I'm not too sure. But he's you know, I think it's, God, I sound like a total mother, but you know, he's responded to everything quite well so far. He sits, he follows the chair, he knows not to pull when the lead is on the chair. So he got all the basics down, and he's very good socializing as well with kids and other dogs and people too.
And what would be the end game? What would you hope he could do?
Yeah, I suppose the end game really is to be the overall companion for me, you know, which, not to sound very sad, but I mean, that's what dogs really are at the end of the day. I've had multiple dogs throughout my life, and we lost our Shih Tzu Sally at the middle of the year. So Bruce came in then, and just the excitement and the actual, like, you know, love when you come in the door is second to none. So yeah, just to be a companion, to be able to go places with me. And sure, you never know, if I'm back up to you next year, I might bring him along with me. You never know.
There's quite a contrast between, well, I'm looking at the picture now of Bruce and Sally, the Shih Tzu. Because the Shih Tzus are quite small, aren't they?
Yeah. Sally was a rescue dog. So she came to us on a rescued basis, and she just stuck with
them. Right, you're breaking up a little bit there. Have we got
you? Hello?
Yeah, you're back now. Yeah. So that's Bruce. So I'll tell them about the Run and Roll in a minute, but you were spotted at the autumn launch last week because you have a documentary coming up on RTÉ television.
Exactly. Yeah, I've been very fortunate to be asked by RTÉ to do a Women in Sports documentary with Loose Horse Productions. So yeah, it's been an incredible summer, just filming, going around, hearing all the trials and tribulations of women in sport, you know, the successes, the failures, the highs, the lows. the differences, you know, between, you know, physiology, psychologically, sociologically. So it's been so incredibly fun, and we can't wait for it to be out hopefully in October.
Yeah, I read you when I can in the Irish Times, and things have changed for women in sport quite rapidly, but still a bit to go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the product that we have now is pretty damn good. We don't need to use it now for inspiration or anything. We need it now to drive interaction, drive in resources, drive in investment, and, you know, focus on catering to the girls of today, who can be inspiration for the girls of tomorrow. But unless we have the, you know, the proper product for today, there will be no inspiration. And we saw it, I suppose, with the Euros 2022 this year. You know, that England team has been building for so long.
Each time there's a big tournament, it goes to a different level, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's so good to see. You know, it's so good that everyone just sits down and watches it for what it is, you know, which is just really good football, you know.
And that thing, which sounded a bit trite, I thought, at the beginning, but makes complete sense now. If you can't see it, you can't be it. You know, and it's so important, isn't it?
So important. You know, I'm even, you know, my spoiler alert, my column for Thursday is about Serena Williams. And even reading all the, you know, the black women that she has inspired, you know, through being proud of her, you know, of her race, being proud that she's a strong black woman and just embracing it is incredible. And we see that as well, you know, with women in sport here in Ireland. You know, I mean, what I started 5 years with the Irish Times, and it's only this year and last year I literally will go up to, you know, someone will ask me, what do I do? And I say, I write for women in sport, and they talk about the Mead ladies footballers. And it's just such incredible to see. You know, as a Cork person, it kills me. But, you know, as a women in sports fan, it's great.
but you, Joanna Reardon, you must be inspirational to, you know, people with disabilities, because, you know, you are very visible, high profile. I can't believe that it's 10 years since you spoke to the UN in New York. That's a bit mad, isn't it? 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah, it's I'm getting old, which is the sad part of the whole thing. You know, but I know, look, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, hopefully through me asking, you know, for better resources, better funding, and, you know, looking to strive anyway to live an independent life as much as I possibly can, you know, I hope to make it much easier for someone who is coming down the line, because there are certainly knockbacks, and there are certainly, you know, times where I'm told no by different people in different areas, you know, when it comes to access for support and resources. But I just hope to keep on ploughing through, you know, literally. You know, I was very fortunate I met Brian Dowling last.
You're breaking up there. Brian Dowling, the Rathangan man. Hello, Joanne. Now we'll try and get Joanne back up. Hello, Joanne. Yeah, you're coming back through there now. How are you?
Yep.
Yeah, there you are now. Sorry, you were saying you met Brian Dowling. No. Will I go to a song and we'll see? Okay. Now, I'll just read a few texts there while we're trying to get Joanne back up on the line. I looked on Amazon, but I didn't find that wonderful book of poems available by Mary Shine Thompson. Dermot Harrington, listening in San Francisco. If you switch to amazon.co.uk, Dermot, they tell me you will find it. And just listen to that nice gentleman from Lenihan speaking, reminded me of the ad in Old Moore's Almanac advertising in the 1950s. Photos of tools in the back page with the warning, beware of cheaper imitations. Never forget it, and often use it when selling my products to the chemists in later years. That's Alfie from Athenry. How are you doing, Alfie? And Paul says, I grew up in Pimlico, Dublin 8, walked to Cape Street every Sunday. It's a great spot. Bought my first set of tools in Lenihan's in 1985. Bought first Doc Martin boots in Army Bargains. I remember the Army Bargains place. Bought my first chromatic harmonica in Goodwin's. All our martial arts and boxing gear at the corner shop. Always bought my darts on Capel Street. My dad only ever bought musical instruments in Goodwin's since 1950. I used to run from Thomas Street to Capel Street in the early 80s because the tailors shared dress suits. Still very... feel very at home on Capel Street, Paul Hyland in Knockline. And you're back there now.
No pressure.
Yeah. So you were saying you met Brian Dowling.
Yeah, basically the long story short is we were just talking about having to kick doors down, you know, rather than just knock on them and hope for the best. And I think, you know, that's why, you know, the run and roll race has inspired me to get involved. you know, becoming a Liberty ally. You know, I mean, it's just all hopefully catering to the future of people with disabilities.
Yes, and it's happening this Sunday. People are running or rolling in the race over 2.5 or 5 kilometres, and it's people of all the abilities, and it's in St Anne's Park in Raheny, which is a lovely place, and it's Liberty Insurance are involved, and the Irish Wheelchair Association. Are you coming up from Cork for it?
Yes, I'm coming up from Cork. Unfortunately, the dog isn't, or we would have no race.
Yeah.
No, I'm really, really looking forward to it. You know, it's something I did virtually last year, which was really fun to do with my mom. But I think now we're both out for revenge. We're both going to compete against each other. And fingers crossed, no one will get caught in that crossfire.
we've a few minutes here, Joanne. So because we haven't spoken so long, I'm just wanted to ask you a couple of sort of big enough questions in that. So you came to everybody's attention when you approached Enda Kenny when he was the Taoiseach, and then you went on the Late Late Show, you spoke to the UN, and you were in your teens at the time.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, and now you're in your 20s, so you're a grown woman. As your view of the world and who you are in the world, how has that changed over the years? Now, there's a big question for you.
I was going to say, I don't know what I signed up for here. No, I'm joking. I don't know, like, I suppose in general, I suppose I've become more aware of all the stuff that my parents would have, I'm not going to say hidden from me, but would have, you know, tried to disguise as not being a huge issue for anything, you know, popping up, you know, getting access to care assistance, you know, in school, in college, you know, being able to live independently. And I suppose now that I'm, what, 26 and trying to do the same thing now myself and replicate what other girls who are, you know, born the same as me are also born with a disability, trying to, you know, just find my way in the world, I suppose. And I suppose I have the added hurdle of having no limbs, of having to plan my life, you know, as so. But, you know, it can get very stressful, for sure. Don't get me wrong, when you're trying to fight for really, you know, basic things that you or your listeners or whoever else, you know, would take for granted, like the ability to get up in the morning and go to a football match without having to, you know, book in my wheelchair pass, buy my wheelchair ticket and stuff like that. Or just notifying someone, a care assistant who's coming in to look after me, just telling them that I want to do something different, you know, for the day.
Yeah.
That for me is kind of, you know, the big thing. And I suppose that's kind of in part why we kind of got the dog, because, you know, he has the ability to, okay, he might be able to, you know, make me my dinner, you know, which we never know. But, you know, he does have the ability to, you know, put the lead on my chair and we go outside, you know, for an hour or two and I'll be fine, you know, by myself, because, you know, the dog will be there. And it's all those things that everyone takes for granted. I think that, I'm not saying I struggle with, but I think I'm trying to make it easier for those who are coming down the line.
Yeah. And you were saying there that you realised the things that your parents hid from you.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it makes you more appreciative then.
Yeah, I suppose absolutely. You know, I think as well, just the fact that they're so willing to, you know, if something didn't work out, you know, with a PA or, you know, a job or different things like that, that they'd be always there to, you know, fill in, you know, like if necessary. You know, a lot of the times in filming, we didn't have good access to care assistance at the time, for want of a better term, and my parents were the ones who were driving me up and down the country and happy to do so.
Mm.
It's things like that, you know, I think it was one of my PAs recently, you know, I'd love to be able to just get in the car and drive or hop on a bike and just cycle. You know, like, they're just, you know, two really kind of basic things. And I think my parents have done such a good job in filling the gaps for so long.
Yeah.
They, obviously, you do take it for granted. But I think now I'm at a stage where I realize, what, as I said, I'm 26. I want to do my own thing and live my own life. And, yeah, hopefully it'll get easier, you know. But I think a lot is needed from the top down to make that easier.
You have been on a horse.
Yes.
How was that for you?
No, the horse was incredible, to say the least. That was all the way back in February. As I said, then I got the job with filming, so I couldn't throw myself back on and, you know, potentially die. But no, I really, really, really enjoyed it. You know, it's going to sound probably a little bit cheesy, but I think just having that movement on a horse where your hips had to move as if you're walking, I've never had that experience. And my God, my hips and my back were in pain for a long time. But no, I really, really enjoyed it. The horses were incredible, and just that freedom and that independence that I would get in the chair but in a different way was incredible to feel.
But that's fascinating what you said there about, you know, it was like your limbs for that moment, was it? Like, it was like that, you know, that's a sensation that we take for granted that you had never experienced.
Yeah, exactly. Like just that kind of walking sensation, you know, like that, you know, the ability to move your hips back and forward and kind of slide along,
yeah.
You know, was definitely different. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So the documentary, we don't know when it's on, but it's something that you love doing and you hope to do more of. So, mm-hmm. Which is great because it means that you will have to promote it and you will have to talk to us more frequently. So we're looking forward to that.
But I'll get the dog trained.
Yeah, and bring him up with you. Irish Wheelchair Association, to find out the details of the Run and Roll, which is happening this Sunday in St. Anne's Park in Raheny, and Liberty Insurance are involved as well. And Joanne O'Riordan will be there without the dog. Joanne, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. It was great to talk to you.
No worries. Appreciate your time too.
Thanks, Joanne. Bye now. That's it from us. Cormac is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.